Hi everyone, welcome back. I am so honored today because I have Reverend Dwayne A. Quanama with me. Reverend Quanama is president and CEO of I Have a Dream Home. He is an entrepreneur, innovator, and business professional with over 30 years' experience. The I Have a Dream Home movement and mission is to end bias and discriminatory lending practices within the banking industry, which has kept 10 million mortgage-ready home buyers from achieving the American dream of home ownership. The I Have a Dream Home business model and investment strategy has built a pathway to home ownership and generational wealth. Thank you so much for being here. It's a complete honor. And I would love for you to share your journey with us, how you got here today, and then we can dive a little bit deeper.
Certainly. Reverend Dwayne Quamina, I'm the president and CEO of I Have a Dream Home. We are an upstart mortgage lending company. We saw a need in the marketplace. There was 10 million mortgage-ready home buyers going underserved in America, and we seen a niche market that needed to be served, and we decided to embark on that journey. How I got there, not being from the mortgage industry at all, actually being from the social arena. My father was director of direct action and nonviolent education for Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. During his tenure with the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. So I'm kind of like a movement brat, always in the nonviolent movement, always doing social work, trying to develop individuals and communities. And that work led me to work with a gentleman who was in the mortgage business for 27 years and had this idea of starting this movement to address those home buyers that weren't being served. Unfortunately, he passed away, and I was left with the reins to continue the movement, didn't want to stop it. And I became president and CEO. And here we are today with some iterations, some name changes, but still the same mission. I Have a Dream Home is alive and well.
Awesome. Well, thank you for sharing that. And I love the mission that you are on and what had started and transpired and what really drove you to start this mission for being a part of it.
Well, the gentleman who started it, they always call on me because I have some skill sets. I worked in the law firm for 10 years, writing motions, briefs, complaints, et cetera, and having my legal mind on and writing business plans as well as my business mind. I'm generally contacted to in the entrepreneurship world to help folks upstart their businesses, whatever. So the gentleman called me and said, "I need your help." And how can you say no to such a vision? And that's how I got started, going to help. And as I've said, he passed away, and we had to keep the movement going. And the need is there. You think about it, 10 million mortgage-ready home buyers going underserved in America. How could that be? So there's some work to be done, and I'm looking forward to completing the journey and doing the best we can. We need more hands. We need more hands on deck. But it's we're starting, and there's others who are working in that arena as well. And together we'll accomplish the mission.
Yes, and I love the mission, and I think it is so important because, like you said, 10 million home buyers ready to go are being underserved, and being able to start to have that movement and realize how important it is for people to have the opportunity and
Yes.
even be being able to build this and continue to build this. So I know you said you need more hands on deck. What are you looking for in order to continue to build such a beautiful mission?
Okay. Well, what we did in order to tackle this humongous issue, let's talk about how we got there in the first place. So we have like our four major banks: Bank of J.P. Morgan Chase, Bank of America, Citibank, Wells Fargo. They have all exited mortgage business, so they want to go into investment banking. J.P. Morgan Chase wants to go into buying up single family homes and renting them, so they want to become a mega landlord. And they don't. There's 10 million folks who want to buy homes. They fall in an area where the banks don't service them. Even though Freddie Mac said on their chart that these folks are capable, ready, willing, and able to purchase homes. The banks still don't want to service them. So we decided to fill that gap in. And when I say all hands on deck, there's money in the federal government and warehouse lines of credit, et cetera, to deliver that. But you have to have a mechanism in place that's careful, that wants to deliver that, and has the means to do so. So we had to build a structure, which we did. And we went through all the compliance issues and so on and so forth. But now, in order to get the car from New York to California, you need gas in the tank.
Yes.
So we implemented what's called a regulation CF offering under the CARES Act, Jobs Act, which was passed in 2012. It allowed for small businesses to raise money from American citizens across the board. That wasn't available before 2012. So now regular everyday individuals can become investors in startups and new companies, et cetera, et cetera. So we put together an offering under Regulation CF and partnered with broker dealers and out of Chicago, Andes Capital Group, with Core Connex, who is our SEC FINRA regulated software provider. Everyone has to be compliant and in and regulated by the Security Exchange Commission and the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority called FINRA. So once you put all that together, now you have a five-star hotel. Now you need people to come in and rent the rooms. We call those people to rent the rooms the investors. So the investors come in, and there's a $5 million raise that has to take place, because in order to get from New York to California, in the mortgage world, you have to raise $5 million. This is a minimum. So once you get the $5 million, now you move into the next threshold of being able to deliver the capital to the community that's needed. And it's a funny mathematical equation, because $5 million actually allows you to be able to deliver anywhere from $300 million upwards into the community. So, but in order to be able to do that, you have to raise the initial capital, which is, in my opinion, it's a good stopgap. It's like, if you can't raise the initial $5 million from investor types, then you're not communicating, you're not efficient enough to even do this. So I don't mind that. And like I said, we put the structure together. Like, we have a CFO on our team who has 14 CPAs, MBAs. So we said, like, we can manage the money. We can do everything we're supposed to do in this business. Now we just have to raise the $5 million. And that's the Reg CF offer. We have an offering page with Andes Capital Group. We have an escrow account with Enterprise Bank and Trust, a large bank out of Missouri. Where the money goes in, it's held in escrow and only used for the purpose of providing these opportunities and mortgages. So I'll stop right there, but that's why we need all hands on deck. We need investor types. Yeah. We need underwriters, and folks that can actually deliver the capital. We need government thinkers who know how to work within the government structures, which we know how to do that, because there's a mechanism called the Community Reinvestment Act. Mm. And that act is about $7.7 billion that the federal government has to deliver to the community every year. And it's not being delivered. And the reason it's not being delivered, because the vehicles to deliver it are inefficient. And that's why we built an efficient vehicle.
Mm. I love it. And it really goes back to just what your mission is and being able to help these individuals, but knowing the parts that need to be bridged together and knowing that there's vehicles there, but we need to close that gap to get the vehicle to the homeowners, the yes. potential homeowners that are ready to buy, but just don't have the resources, but being able to pull your resources together of everybody that you do know and knowing and putting it out there and getting your message out there as well of all the different factors that go into building an amazing business, but also having the amazing people there too. And I think it's, you know, it just talks about community. Like to me, that's what stands out, like building this strong community to help more people be part of communities and have their own home and be able to live the life and the dream they want as well.
That's the American dream.
Yes, exactly.
And that's the first pillar of generational wealth building. First pillar of generational wealth building is home ownership. Yeah. That's a foundational piece. Now you have other pillars to hold up the structure of generational wealth building, but one of the core pillars is home ownership.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is. It absolutely is. And I would love for you to speak a little bit more about generational wealth, because I think it's something that we don't talk about enough and understanding, like even building the foundation of a home, of course, the home's one aspect, but could you talk about a little bit more of what the other pillars are when it comes to generational wealth?
Certainly. So when you talk about generational wealth, it's wealth that you can build while you're here, but also leave to your family and preferably generations to come, but at least you want to go two generations. and if you fail after two generations, then you start over. But you need to build enough wealth to at least go two generations. So, you know, home ownership is one pillar of wealth. Of course, you know, folks could start a business and build up, you know, resources from a business. Folks can invest in the stock market, which is a pillar, and have investments in that arena. But you got to know what you're doing, because yeah. You could also lose in those vehicles. And but that's a pillar, you know. And other investment type vehicles are pillars to create generational wealth. The most simplest one to understand, of course, is home ownership, because you own your home. You pay for it over 15 years, 30 years. And at the end of the day, if you bought it for, and just using, you know, general numbers, say you pay, just for the sake of discussion, $300,000 for a home, $200,000 in an urban setting, $150,000 first time home buyer. And you bought that home and you paid over 15 years or in 30 years or whatever. And the real estate doubles in value. And sometimes it triples in value. So with that said, and let's take a $200,000 investment. So now you paid it off, and you want to leave it to your, you know, children, and now the home is worth $600,000.
Right.
Okay. Well, that's a good start for a young person coming up to have an asset on the books for $600,000. They can take that asset. They can maintain it. They can take it, put it on the market, create $600,000, and then put another pillar in, start a business. They could pay for a college fund that will get them some education to be able to take them to another level, which is also a pillar, education. So that's why you want to own the asset called the home, and a pillar, because you're going to live somewhere. Everyone lives somewhere. Sure. You know, and when you're living somewhere, generally you're paying either a mortgage or you're paying rent. So why not pay and be paying for an asset that appreciates over time? And then with that said, that's why with JP Morgan Chase not lending and wanting to become the mega landlord and do the rental, at the end of the day, the mortgages or the homes that JP Morgan is going to invest in will belong to JP Morgan. And it's like, well, that's kind of backwards.
Yeah.
Well, I don't understand that. And I hope the American citizens don't understand that and start fighting for the right to have these resources directed towards them so they can be the home buyers. So that's part of the prong of our fight. One of them, we got to make it clear what's taking place, but also we have to have the all hands on deck to be educated enough to know the difference between renting from JP Morgan Chase or getting a mortgage from JP Morgan Chase, which they don't want to do right now. Mm-hmm. But if they don't want to do it, then we'll do it. Right. We'll do it as the American citizens. We'll get 5,000 of us together. We'll put $1,000 together. 5,000 times 1,000 is 5 million. And we'll be the mortgage lender. We'll go to the federal government. We'll take the Community Reinvestment Act dollars. We'll put it back into the community. We'll create the generational wealth by the home ownership component. And then those 5,000 people who invest in there, they become the owners of the corporation as well. So now the residual income that comes from managing and these resources and money becomes part of your generational wealth building foundation as well. Now, if you took 5,000 folks and did that, and just say in a vacuum, and could deliver $300 million a year, that 5,000 folks, that delivers about 1,000 homes, $300 million, right?
Yeah.
That doesn't put a dent in the 10 million mortgage-ready home buyers. No. So in our lifetime, we can never service that entire population. Mm-hmm. We can only put a dent in it. And we could create a condition where we can put a clean glass next to a dirty glass and make the American people see the difference between our proprietary mortgage lending process and the current lending process or the lending processes that have evaporated because everybody's closed their doors to mortgage lending. And then we have to talk about and talk to our government officials and say, let's be conscious of what's going on and we can deliver. We're showing we can deliver. Mm-hmm. We can make it happen because we want to. So when you're not making it happen, it's because you don't want to. And I think the American people would be very clear about it and say, well, if we put that clean glass up and we deliver the first 300 million, the next 300 million is just right behind it. And the next 300 million is right behind it. And and then we can expand this way and deliver more per year because it's a lot of work to be done.
Yes.
To deliver those mortgages. But the core work, which is having a market for it, is already done. Yeah. It's 10 million mortgage-ready home buyers today. And it's more than 10, according to Freddie Mac, which is a federal government agency, right? They say it's about 13 million mortgage-ready home buyers under their criteria that's qualified and ready to purchase homes today. And it's like, well, why is it not happening?
Yeah, it just seems like it's raising, if anything. But I love that you're filling that gap of what is possible. And I love the example you used of the glass, like the clear glass and the dirty glass. But like you can see it, even just hearing you say it too, of what needs to be done and what's possible. But it's like starting, and even though it'll be a dent, it's bigger than nothing as well. And absolutely, being able to set the path of being able to help homeowners just have a home. It's that generational wealth. It's that safety. It's security. It's being able to have something of their own and being able to create that generational wealth and what can come for the next generations to come as well.
Yes.
I think that's really important. And I don't think it's talked about enough. Like I had no idea until we started talking about it, to be quite honest, of how many people are eligible, but it's just not having the resources or having the knowledge base too, and bringing knowledge to it of what is possible. And I'm curious, because it's been growing and it will continue to grow, what have been some of the main obstacles that you and your team have really faced in being able to build I Have a Dream Home?
Compliance. Mm. Compliance. We've had two different, and we're relatively a new company. Mm-hmm. But we've had FINRA look at us twice, the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, which is a federal government agency again, look at us twice with a microscope. And a couple folks, some of our partners are like, oh, FINRA. And I'm like, I love FINRA. Come on. I need you to go in with a fine tooth comb and tell us whatever we're doing wrong, because we'll fix it. Because we come with integrity. We want to be right. And we walked away with their head down and said, hey, nothing's wrong. I said, nothing's wrong. Because But that's why we have the professionals in place. That's why we have Core Connects, who is SEC and FINRA regulated. There are software providers, because you can't take investment dollars in over Cash App and Zelle and Venmo. You can't do it. Yeah. It's illegal. You have to take it in through SEC and FINRA regulated devices or mechanisms. So, you know, Core Connects is that. Our broker dealers are SEC and FINRA regulated. We didn't go to a funding portal who's not regulated. We signed up with a broker dealer who is licensed and have to maintain the security license. The bank is a multi-billion dollar bank out of Missouri who's the escrow holder. They're compliant and regulated to the hilt. Our service processors who process payments, which is SecureTrans and Arc5 Signal. SecureTrans takes United States dollars, and it's like a credit card system, but they have to be SEC and FINRA regulated as well. Just can't be anybody. Right. And Arc5 Signal, they allow for people to pay in Japanese yen, Deutsche Marks, or cryptocurrency. But they have to be SEC FINRA regulated, so they can convert those dollars and things instantaneously, because somebody can come in and invest something, right? And say, oh, we want to invest $5,000. And then tomorrow, the currency drops in half, and you got to give them $5,000 worth of value, but now it's only worth $2,500 because of the drop in the cryptocurrency. So our Five Sigma can get, we can take that payment and convert it instantaneously so we don't lose the value overnight. Yeah. And that's a protection for the investors as well. So, but all these folks have to be SEC and FINRA regulated, and they have to be under their auspices as well as us. You know, we have rules and regulations we have to adhere by. Certain things we can say, certain things we can't say. We can't promise investors they're going to make $1 million, even though you can look at the numbers. Like the market that we're going into, Citibank issued a report and said that market is an untapped market, and it's worth $1.5 trillion for whoever takes on that market. Now, how much could you make in that market if you were the catalyst and driver behind bringing the opportunity to that market? Well, Citibank says $1.5 trillion. I said, I can't say that. I didn't say it. Citibank said it. Citigroup is they're in 200 countries, and they're multi-trillion-dollar operation. So I think they know what they're talking about. And that's where, you know, we picked up on the idea. We said, like, wait a minute, it's in the book. It's like $1.5 trillion market untapped. You know, Fannie Mae and the Homeownership Council of America said it's 10 million plus who can't get the mortgages, who are in this market. And it's like, well, if you put those two together, that's a pretty heck of a business opportunity. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, okay, who wants to join me in this business? Who wants to become an owner of I Have a Dream Home by investing and becoming a stockholder, a shareholder in the company? And let's build that, and let's start tackling that market, delivering homeownership opportunities to the American citizens, creating generational wealth opportunities for those who are purchasing the homes, creating generational wealth opportunities for those who are investing, who also make a profit on the investment, because there's money to be made in lending. You know, so we're not leaving the money on the table. We're just being responsible. So we said, let's create a proprietary mortgage lending platform, sort of different than the others. One of the pillars in our proprietary mortgage lending platform that we want to deliver is in the current structure, if somebody purchases a home and they're in the home, let's say for 10 years, they're paying a mortgage time every month, and a medical emergency comes up and they can no longer pay for their home. But they might recover in 2 years, 3 years down the road. Mortgage companies don't care. They will foreclose on you and they will put you in the streets. And we said, no, that's not socially conscious. We want to be socially conscious. If you have to, if a situation arose and you got into a foreclosure situation, when you invest through our proprietary mortgage lending platform, we have an investment hedge where we put aside mm-hmm. for you. So if something happens like that, and we would be able to deliver to you a check that could give you an upstart. Maybe you have to go and move into a smaller unit, into an apartment, into, we just don't put you in the street. Yeah. We don't say like your 15 years of investment is just gone up in smoke, poof, it's gone. It's like, that's not nice. And it's like, why would we do that to our own people? Mm-hmm. So that's one of our proprietary, one of the pillars in our proprietary mortgage lending platform. We have a social consciousness in our structure that, and that comes from my background. As I said, my father being the director of direct action and nonviolent education for Dr. King, being in the social movement, caring about the American citizen. It's in my DNA, it's in the board member's DNA, and we care. And it's easy to deliver. You can make a profit caring. Mm-hmm. You don't have to make it all. You know, you don't have to take every crumb that's on the master's table. You know, you right. can leave some so somebody else can even have a day in the sun. And that's our belief as part of our movement strategy to make sure that, well, we deliver a good product, but also deliver a socially conscious product.
Yes, absolutely. And just even speaking to that, because you're such an innovator of like what you've been able to create and joining forces with everyone. But I love the social component too, of just being conscious of the individual that's going into that home, the family that's going into that home, and not leaving them stranded if they're unable to pay or life circumstances, because I think that happens in every life. There's something that happens, but how do you navigate that? And there is such a component to that. And I think that just really makes it so well-rounded of what has been created and what will continue to transpire. And I'm curious, what has been maybe one or two success stories that you could share with us about I Have a Dream Home?
Because we're in the structuring mode,
yeah.
The successes are, again, going through the compliance.
Yeah.
Actually building the five-star hotel. You yes. know, that's you don't know the difficulties. We've been building this structure for 2 years. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of like you know, you go and you stay in these five-star hotels and you get a penthouse and you pay the money and you go to the top and you enjoy yourself. But mm-hmm. the work that it took to put that foundation and stack those floors up on top of each other so that you could enjoy it, that's been an undertaking. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of different components. And so the success in our eyes yeah. is staying on task.
Yes.
Not losing faith mm-hmm. In the process. Because sometimes like you go and you knock on the door and you know you just need this piece of paper, and there's someone who could deliver this piece of paper to you because they have a pen sitting right next to them. But yeah, they won't pick up the pen.
Yeah.
And it's like, why won't you pick up that pen? It's like, cause I'm in charge. And it's like, but you need to pick up that pen. We need that paper. And mm-hmm. it's like to navigate and even go through those situations and come out victorious, because we love people. So like I said, we don't see FINRA. We don't see anybody as our adversary. We see them as our advocate. So we just say, okay, you don't want to pick up the pen. And then the next day we'll send them a gift. And mm-hmm. what would be the gift? It'd be a box of new pens. Then they look and they call you, say, I got your pens. And I said, oh, you did? They said, yeah, you can come pick your paper up. And we're best buddies.
Oh, I love that.
So and you don't. Those are the successes. You don't get frustrated. Mm-hmm. Just know that people are people for whatever reason they do what they yeah. do and how they do it. And you just got to love them in spite of themselves and mm-hmm. in spite of yourself.
Yes. Well said. And I so appreciate your transparency, because I think it takes a village, it takes work to build something great, and it doesn't happen overnight. And it's a testament. You said it's been a progress of 2 years and it's continuing to grow and build. And I think it is amazing the structures you're putting in place, and it does take time. And I think that's a conception. I think people are starting to realize things don't happen overnight. They take time and consistency and patience and putting pen to paper and being able to make things happen. And I'm curious, what are maybe two or three tips you could give individuals that are on this entrepreneurial journey that you've experienced building businesses, all the experiences you've had that have really lent into the lessons that you learned?
Absolutely. Absolutely. As an entrepreneur, You cannot enter into an entrepreneur endeavor to make money. It can't be the purpose, because you'll never make money. You have to enter into it because you want to provide a service to someone, some community, and it has to be something you love. So if you just go and just provide a service and that's your modus operandi, the resources come naturally. But if you go on to make money, there's an energy shift in the atmosphere that puts a block up that you don't even know about. And it keeps you from being able to penetrate the hearts and minds of those you're trying to serve. Because there's an old saying, only that which comes from the heart can reach the heart. And people know. So, and I always tell folks, I say in entrepreneurs, because I teach a little, I say, when you walk into a room, somebody walks into a room and they're all angry. And you feel it. And it causes you to tighten up your shoulders, and you hope when they don't look at you and just keep on moving. And it's like, but they never said anything to you, but you feel that energy. That's real energy. So that energy is prominent in the atmosphere at all times. So when you're an entrepreneur, again, only that which comes from the heart can reach the heart. So do something you love to do, be about service to the people, to the community, whatever that is, and then the resources will come. And that's a valuable tip that I would say to any entrepreneur. Love it, be about the service, and let the money take care of itself. Don't worry about that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you're absolutely right. And, you know, it's just funny when you said, like, somebody walks in angry or upset, like you feel that energy. And I feel like energy is present even before we speak, and just how we show up in the room, how we are serving people versus looking at the money aspect, because it's putting your heart and soul, just like what you've done for I Have a Dream Home, of being able to pour your heart and soul into these homeowners that you want to help, and all your team as well, and continuing to see that grow and the what you can really help accomplish in this world, because it's definitely something that's needed, and it's something that you filled the gap, but it's because you care about it, and it will transpire in that beautiful aspect because you care, because you're putting in the energy, because you have individuals that are on that same mission as you as well. Because I think that energy shift of when people are all on that same mission, you can help more people. It's contagious.
And that's the key. Mm-hmm. Coming together, community.
Yes,
it's like community. When we come together, and it's always an example they use in the political arena. Mm-hmm. We know we're always fighting the Democrats and the Republicans, right? Yeah. But when a catastrophe happens, the American citizens, they forget about all that, and they go and they attack that catastrophe, and they get it done, and they dig out. Yeah. And that's always a beautiful thing to me. It's like, you know, it's like, it's sad that it has to be like only when it's like, you know, a catastrophe, a natural disaster or something. Why can't we be like that every day to each other? And it's like, so the catastrophes kind of come and go, and they give us those moments, you know, and being, you know, playing sports a lot during my lifetime. That's another arena where things are very, very conforming to the arena of love. Because you're all men, you're on a basketball team, and a guy scores a basket, and you smack them on the rear end, and it's like it's everybody knows what that is. You know, it's like you're competitive after the game, y'all jump and run and hug each other and stuff like that. And then after the game is over, you go out in the public and the guy would be scared to death to hug another man. And it's like, what was that? But y'all just was hugging on the court. You know, yeah, but that was in the heat of battle. No, that was love. And if we can extend that outwards into the community, that would go a long ways.
Yeah.
In our development. So that just coming together and being loving and that's and if I may digress one more second, I was watching some of your videos and I see the women that you have on your platform and that you're a psychologist, and it's like I see the beauty that's emanating in all your interviews. And how people respond to it. And it's to me, it's like just a beautiful thing and absolutely needed in the environment, what you do, because that brings the balance from all the negativity that's out there. And that balance is what keeps us moving forward as a nation. That's what keeps us in balance and keeps us from injuring each other beyond repair.
Absolutely. And I appreciate that. Definitely received that. And I think it's important what you are doing and what the movement you are doing with I Have a Dream Home. And I'm curious, what do you foresee in the next few years with I Have a Dream Home, the mission, the company, helping homeowners? What do you see?
Okay. In the next few years, I see us being able to, first, we have to raise this $5 million. So, you know, investors, we did those 5,000, 1,000 investors. And they can go to our website, www.ihaveadreamhome.gold. We use gold.com, G-O-L-D. And the reason we use gold, because gold is the standard bearer for wealth. And we always say the roads are paved with gold. So let's drive and get our mission accomplished. So we want to raise those $5 million to be able to get into the arena appropriately. And then we see us being able to deliver the $300 million for the first, within the first 12 months to the community and homeownership. So only takes, quiet as it's kept, three underwriters on staff to get that out to the community. Yeah. So we see that building that, and you got to have a certain amount of reserve, which is kind of what Signature Bank and Silicon Valley Bank didn't have, why they collapsed. Mm-hmm. But you got to have a certain amount of reserve when it comes to mortgage with the leverage factors. And then we want to deliver that $300 million, returning a profit to our investors. Then we want to raise up another $5,000 and do it again, and do it again, and do it again. That's creating the generational wealth. And we want to double our capacity every year. So we want to do $300 million the first year. The second year, we want to do $600 million. And then in the third year, we want to do $1.2 billion, deliver that to the community.
Yeah.
And mind you, that still only addresses 4,000 homebuyers.
Wow.
That's all that addresses. Because you got to remember, every $300,000 is about, $300 million is only about 1,000 homebuyers. Wow. You see? Yeah. So, and that's why I said we can never tackle that 10 million marketplace in our lifetime, but we can make a dent in it. And so that's where we want to be in the next 3 years. We want to make a dent, $300 million first year, $600 million the second year, and $1.2 billion the third year. So that's going to be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So maybe like 8,000 homeowners. But with that said, we also want to create or wealth in another way, because we want to be able to have folks create in their sort of like a franchise, right? In your area, you become a part of home, I Have a Dream Home, and everybody in that particular area, you service them.
Yeah.
And then we create these areas and these hubs where folks, now we reduplicating ourselves.
Yes.
So now we can make a bigger dent. So let me show you how you do that so that you can do what we're doing where you're at, and we can exponentially grow business, but also exponentially attack the problem. Yeah. So that's what I see us over the next 3 years and going into the next 2 years after that, 5 years.
Wow. I'm so excited for this because I see the potential and I see what you're doing. And I think you're right. It's a dent. And even the numbers, it just like puts it in perspective of how much work is to be done and can help. And it's just that process of not giving up and continuing to persevere and making sure the investors are there and the money's there to help the homeowners. But even like 8,000 homeowners, when we're talking 10 million that could still get a home, it's crazy the numbers of really understanding, but being able to create that dent and be able to move forward and help those, but then branching it out to creating franchises and business and pouring money back into the community as well. And I think that's what it's about. And that's what's really going to allow that to have the home, have the business or the franchise and continue to grow and leave back a legacy for family and those to come as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, I've been so enjoying this conversation, Reverend. But before we move on, I would love for you to just share where people can find you, find I Have a Dream Home. I know you already gave the website, but we're going to link everything below. But if you could let us know again.
Okay. If you go to our website, everything's right there. Tons of educational materials as well. We've been doing newsletters for those 2 years while we were building this hotel. So five-star hotel. So you see plenty of information on our website, www.IHaveADreamHome.gold. And everything's right there, and invest buttons and everything. And when you become an investor, something that's very important to know. You get like a bank account. So you can see it. And then you come back once you register and you put your investment in, you get your stock. You come back, there's an investing login button. So you can log in just like you log into your bank account and see your investments. You can see your stocks. You can see. So this thing was really structured, you know, properly, and not to the professionals that we partnered with to bring us to this level of excellence. But we wanted to make sure that we delivered a solid product and that the people would be respectful of it in terms of the class that was put behind it, because every one of our partners is a class act. That is Capital Group, Corcon X, Secure Transop, Five Sigma, Enterprise Bank and Trust, and of course our host of CPAs, starting with Juwan Williams. We have a board of directors. We look at our board of directors. We have like 6 MBAs on our board of directors. Folks have been highly educated, and that's very important for not only getting the job done, but also building up trust in the community and with folks who would be interested in joining us and helping us get this American task done. That's what we're here for. We want to be a part of the American dream and keep it going.
Yes, and I love that you are and what you all are doing to really just make it more easy to accept and accessible for a homeowner to buy a home that is ready to purchase. But I so appreciate everything you, your team, the investors that are doing in this world. And I'm so honored to have had you on today to share your time, your energy, your beautiful spirit with us as well. But thank you so much for being here today, Reverend Quantima.
Thank you. Appreciate you, Dr. Caroline.
Thank you. And thank you so much for watching. Make sure to like, subscribe, comment below what was the biggest takeaway. And we will see you on the next video.